Celebration. So I've asked my pastor, Pastor Randy at Meridian First Baptist Church, to implement the offering that they had there. During singing, they had a bowl up front for offering. That offering was for music. And then during the service, they had offering, and that was their regular offering. And after the service, they brought a box up front. And that was, I don't know if your church does it, but my church has a harvest in gathering banquet in the fall, and there's a big offering giving then. This is their first fruits. And so they played music, and the people came, and they put their offering in the box, and then they went and counted the offering, and I was told that if there was not enough in the box, that they would bring the box back out front, and they'd say, let's do it again. But the people are very generous, really, really neat. They're glad to give. They're happy. And the church service I was going to mention started at 9 o'clock in the morning, and we sang and sang and sang and sang and sang for about an hour and a half. And then we had a sermon, and the sermon was in French and in Eve, their native language. And then we sang some more, and then we sang some more, and then they played some more music and sang some more, and then they had another mini sermonette. And we were finished at about 1:30, and then they had kind of a potluck, and we were invited to stay, but we unfortunately already had plans. Would have been fun to stay because the Togolese people all brought their food in, and they were, you know, all sharing with their hands out of the same bowls and pots of stuff, and I don't know what they were eating, but talk about a great way to get to know your neighbors by consuming food where we all stick our hands in it. So today I'd like you to open to Acts chapter 1, and we'll be focusing more in Acts 2 starting at verse 14. But I'd like to read Acts 1:1-11. And this is about building the church, and that is our goal in Togo, and that is our goal in all the rest of the world, is to build the church, continue to build the church, and to proclaim the good news of Christ. So Luke writes, "In my former book, Theopolis, I wrote about all that Jesus began to do and to teach until the day he was taken up to heaven, after giving instructions through the Holy Spirit to the apostles he had chosen. After his suffering, he showed himself to these men and gave many convincing proofs that he was alive. He appeared to them over a period of 40 days and spoke about the kingdom of God. On one occasion, while he was eating with them, he gave them this command, 'Do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised, which you have heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit.' So when they met together, they asked him, 'Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom to Israel?' He said to them, 'It is not for you to know the times or dates the Father has set by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth.' After he said this, he was taken up before their very eyes, and a cloud hid him from their sight. They were looking intently up into the sky as he was going, when suddenly two men dressed in white stood beside them. 'Men of Galilee,' they said, 'why do you stand here looking into the sky? This same Jesus, who has been taken from you into heaven, will come back in the same way you have seen him go into heaven.'" I wonder what they thought when Jesus told them to not leave Jerusalem because they were going to be baptized with the Holy Spirit. I wonder if they thought they should have been doing something different, but they were commanded to stay. Sometimes we don't listen. When God tells us to do something, we don't listen. But they did listen. And what happened was neat. So Jesus was crucified. Jesus was buried. Jesus rose again in bodily form from the dead. And Jesus appeared to these people over 40 days. This happened after Passover. There were people from all over the area that had come to celebrate Passover. And that's where we pick up in Acts 2. When the day of Pentecost, Pentecost is 50 days, so 10 days after Jesus had appeared was the day of Pentecost. When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly a sound like the blowing of violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. There they waited, and they were baptized by the Holy Spirit. Now they were staying in Jerusalem, God-fearing Jews from every nation under heaven because of Passover. When they heard this sound, a crowd came together in bewilderment because each one hearing them speaking in his own language. Utterly amazed, they asked, "Are not all these men who are speaking Galileans? Then how is it that each of us hears them in his own native language, Parthians, Medes, and Elamites, residents of Mesopotamia, Judea, Cappadocia, Pontus, and Asia, Phrygia, and Pamphylia, Egypt, and the parts of Libya near Cyrene, visitors from Rome, both Jews and converts to Judaism, Cretans and Arabs? We hear them declaring the wonders of God in our own tongues. Amazed and perplexed, they asked one another, 'What does this mean?' Some, however, made fun of them and said, 'They have had too much wine.'" I like the comedy that comes up in the next section as Peter addresses the crowd. Peter stood up with the 11, raised his voice and addressed the crowd. "Fellow Jews and all of you who live in Jerusalem, let me explain this to you. Listen carefully to what I say. These men are not drunk as you suppose. It's only 9 in the morning." So why would they possibly be drunk at 9 o'clock in the morning? That was just ridiculous. I know that in today's society, maybe we see people that may be, but then that was just absolutely, utterly ridiculous that they could not have been drunk. He goes on to say what was spoken by the prophet Joel. "In the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions, and your old men will dream dreams. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days, and they will prophesy. I will show wonders in the heaven above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and billows of smoke. The sun turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the coming of the great and glorious day of the Lord. And everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved." So because all these people were there, and because Jesus told them to stay and that they were baptized by the Holy Spirit, they were able to speak to all of these people in a language that they understood. And they spent time teaching and preaching, and many, many people came to Christ, as we'll find a little later in Acts chapter 2. The importance of the ability to be able to speak to these people, just like today. Here at CUNA Baptist Church, you don't necessarily need to be speaking in other languages, but sometimes you have to speak in a language that's better understood. Not everybody who's up here teaching is going to be able to convey their message in the way that they preach and teach. Pastor Piper has a different way of teaching than I do. People are going to understand different things depending on how you teach. My son's sneaking in to say hi. As we continue on in Acts 2, 22, men of Israel, listen to this. Jesus of Nazareth was a man accredited by God to you by miracles, wonders, and signs, which God did among you through him. And you yourselves know this man was handed over to you by God's set purpose and foreknowledge. And you, with the help of wicked men, put him to death by nailing him to the cross. But God raised him from the dead, freeing him from the agony of death, because it was impossible for death to keep its hold on him. David said about him, I saw the Lord always before me, because he is at my right hand. I will not be shaken. Therefore my heart is glad and my tongue rejoices. My body also will live in hope, because you will not abandon me to the grave, nor will you let your Holy One see decay. You have made known to me the paths of life. You will fill me with joy in your presence. So in this section, we talk about the physical death of Jesus and the physical burying and the physical rising from the dead. And David, in what David had spoken, you know, talked about what was going to happen. And the constant references to what was prophesied in the Old Testament, I think, helped a lot of the people better understand what they were saying. What they were saying is that Jesus Christ is the Messiah and is God and was sent, and all of this was pre-planned. And, you know, as they continued to preach and teach, they helped the people understand. As we continue in 29, brothers, I can tell you confidently that the patriarch David died and was buried, and his tomb is here to this day. But he was a prophet and knew that God had promised him on oath that he would place one of his descendants on his throne. Seeing what was ahead, he spoke of the resurrection of the Christ, that he was not abandoned to the grave, nor did his body see decay. God has raised this Jesus to life, and we are all witnesses of the fact. Exalted to the right hand of God, he has received from the Father the promised Holy Spirit and has poured out what you now see and hear. For David did not ascend to heaven, and yet he said, the Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I make your enemies a footstool for your feet. Therefore, let all Israel be assured of this. God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ. And as they teach that David's tomb was there, David's body was in that tomb, and David's body was still in that tomb, that there was a difference, and that David was not the Messiah, but he was talking about Jesus coming and dying as a substitute for us, as a covering for our sins, and was raised from the dead to give hope to all peoples moving forward, that there was eternal life through him if they just believed. In 37, when the people heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the other apostles, brothers, what shall we do? Peter replied, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. The promise is for you and your children, and for all who are far off, for all whom the Lord our God will call. With many other words, he warned them, and he pleaded with them, save yourselves from this corrupt generation. Those who accepted his message were baptized, and about 3,000 were added to their number that day. So prior to that day, the Bible says that there were about 120 believers. After the day of Pentecost and this day of preaching and teaching, they added 3,000 more people. What an increase. Do you imagine bringing 3,000 more people into this church today? We should. We should, and it's our responsibility to invite and to put our arms around and to make sure that others, our neighbors, our friends, the guy walking down the street, has an opportunity to hear the truth. It's amazing that in this country that we think is well-churched, how many people have never, ever heard the words of the Bible. So, we're taught to repent, confess our sins, ask for forgiveness, and we're given a free gift. It's interesting that it can sound so easy, and it is easy, but there's so many people out there that just think, well, we're good. I spent that time in my life when I thought I had the bull by the horns. I made a lot of money. I could buy anything I wanted. Material things made me happy. If I wanted something else, I'd go get it. I love to dine out, hence my good shape. Food is good. Food's good over fellowship. But God taught me a very serious lesson that when you worship other gods, and my God for a long time was money, that you will be taught, and I was taught. And in the fall of 2009, God led me through financial collapse. And that's a good way to shake you and get your attention when you realize that you can lose absolutely everything that you thought was yours. Nothing's mine. It's all God's. God gave me what I needed to acquire the things that I had. God allowed me to do that. And then God taught me a lesson and said, nope, stop worshiping yourself, stop worshiping money, and pay attention to me. And I fell down and I prayed. I prayed really, really hard, and I begged for forgiveness, and I believe God forgave me. But that shaking allowed me to get checked back into church. I attended. I showed up. I sat there, and I listened to the sermon every Sunday. Well, I heard it. I didn't listen. It wasn't in my brain. I spent a lot of years having noise pass by my ears, but not penetrating. And I regret that, because I have missed out on well over a decade of teaching. I've missed out on lots of knowledge that I should have in my head by my age of 40. And even though I'm halfway through life, I know that God forgives, and that I have an opportunity over the next 40 years or however many God will give me to study and to make up and to learn and to teach others. Acts 42 and beyond is the fellowship of the believers. I'm sorry, Acts 2, 42 and to the end. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe, and many wonders and miraculous signs were done by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. Selling their possessions and goods, they gave to anyone as he had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. We have the opportunity here in CUNA. We have the opportunity here in Idaho, in the States, and all around the world to share the good news. And it is commanded of us to share. And it is commanded of us to bring others into the fold. It's amazing how many people I've ran into just in the last couple years that go to church, that say they believe, that pray, that sing, that participate in church activities, but ultimately when it comes down to it and you ask about their testimony or about their salvation, you're going to get a response of, well, I'm good. I'm good. It's sad. It's sad. I taught Sunday school a few weeks ago, and I'm teaching a version of Good Soil. And we're in the discipleship study called the Way to Joy. And one of the questions in the leader's guide was, have you ever questioned your salvation? And my Sunday school class generally said no. And I, as the leader of my Sunday school class, had to say, yeah. My testimony is that I was saved as a child. But I really wonder sometimes, especially in 2009, as I broke myself and begged and pleaded for forgiveness, if it was real as a child. And I questioned whether or not I was really, truly saved. And I don't know. I don't know how to answer that question. I guess I can ask God when I get there. But I do know that in turning my life back over to God and asking for forgiveness and asking for help, that I felt a change. I felt a emotional and physical change. And I'm confident that if you are truly saved, you will show the fruits. And I wasn't showing the fruits. That's scary. Because what would have happened had I died 5 years before? And it wasn't real when I was a kid. I'm not saying that if you believe that you were saved and you question it, that you need to immediately fall down and do it again. But if you don't think it's real, you always have an opportunity. As long as you're breathing, as long as your heart's beating, you always have an opportunity to repent, confess, ask for forgiveness, and ask for that free gift. I challenge you, as you go about your daily activities, as you are in your neighborhoods, as you're visiting with your coworkers, as you're visiting with your family, that you reflect God in everything that you do. There's a note on the pulpit at my church in Meridian, and I like that note. That note says, make Jesus the hero of every story. If you make Jesus the hero of every story, and you reflect God, and you talk about what's true, and you share the Bible, my wife says you can lead a horse to water, you can't force him to drink, but we're commanded to do everything that we can, and I would urge you to do everything that you can with your friends, family, neighbors, Joe Schmo that you find on the street, to give people the opportunity to be saved. I'm glad to be here. I'm glad to be in God's family. I'm excited to see all of you folks here, and I think that church is a wonderful place to fellowship and to worship. But I would urge anyone out there that if you haven't made that commitment to God, it's never too late until you're dead, and then there's no turning back. No matter how old or how young you are, take that opportunity. Repent. Ask for forgiveness. And ask God into your life. And there are pastors, missionaries, and deacons, and elders, and other church members that are out there and available and ready and eager to talk to you at any time. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for the opportunities that you present us every day in life, for the people that we meet, for the people that we know, for the gift that you've given us, for the chances that we continue to have over and over and over.
you give us the gift of 24 hours every day. And you forgive us for the little time that we give back to you every day. Thank you for being there for us, for sending your Son to be a substitute for our death, for the shedding of his blood to be a covering for our sins, for his bodily resurrection, and for the opportunities that we have to join you in heaven when it's time. As we're taught here in the Bible, before Jesus left, we're in the end days. We've been in the end days for over 2,000 years. I don't think they realized that when they thought about it, when the Bible was being written. But we don't know how long the end days are. We don't know how long you're going to let our hearts beat. But help us to be grateful for the time that we have. Help us to be encouraging towards others. Help us to be missionaries wherever we can serve, whether it's here in the church, here in the community, or across the seas in another country. We love you, God, and we know that you love us. Thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.